Hello and welcome to an episode of Nonprofit Vision. My name is Greg Nielsen. I'm with Nielsen Training and Consulting. And today's podcast is going to focus on an HR topic that I know is popular among nonprofit organizations and I know generates a ton of conversation. And that's how to create and promote a culture of promoting from within when it comes to developing your staff and putting your staff together. And I am thrilled to be joined by Sky Mercer. Sky, welcome to the podcast.
Hello. Thank you for having me, Greg.
Happy to be here. I appreciate you making the time for the conversation. Maybe tell us a little bit, Sky, about your business, your background in HR.
Absolutely. So I've been in HR since 2002, and I've worked in all aspects of HR for several nonprofit organizations, including Goodwill, YWCA, and then the bulk of my HR consulting clients are nonprofits as well. So I work with nonprofit organizations all over the U.S. I provide on-call HR services. And so what that means is for organizations who don't have an HR department, who are transitioning between HR directors, or who need an outside objective perspective, I'm your person. So I do monthly contracts or billable hour, and I really provide hands-on troubleshooting on call for managers that are navigating difficult employment situations, whether it's how to accommodate a medical leave, how to complete federal reporting requirements, how to manage an employee performance issue. And then I also work with clients on a project basis. So I create employee handbooks, I review employee handbooks, I do internal investigations, I have leadership coaching programs, I also do compensation design and surveying. So pretty much anything in the HR realm, I have my hands in, and it's something I'm passionate about and enjoy doing.
And that has to be reassuring for nonprofit organizations, so many of whom don't have an HR department or aren't big enough to have reached that point, to be able to pick up the phone or email and talk to someone with your background, with your expertise.
Yeah. It's literally one of the most rewarding experiences too, to be able to help a nonprofit that's involved in mission-based work that doesn't have access to that resource, like you said. And just the level of gratitude and appreciation that comes back at me during those conversations, like, thank you so much. You know, oftentimes leaders know which way they want to go, but the world of HR can be scary, especially with the legal compliance realm and all of those laws that are out there. And so, you know, it's just rewarding, and it's a place where I can serve the industry and serve multiple organizations as well.
It's so funny. I think, you know, I do a lot of strategic planning, a lot of working with nonprofit boards, and so many times HR issues or questions will pop up in those sessions. Not even so much the need to build an HR department, but just kind of one-off questions about how to build a staff, how to replace a staff member, how to handle things like family and medical leave or parental leave, things like that. So,
yeah, absolutely. And the other realm that I really help out with is recruitment. And that involves both the external recruitment. So I do on-demand customized recruitment for nonprofits that might not have the funds to outsource it to a recruiting agency or who don't have the internal HR person. But a big component of that, and especially when I have ongoing clients, is talking about internal promotions and talking about the talent pool that the entity has at their fingertips inside the organization.
So you mentioned that kind of promoting from within, and that's going to be the bulk of our conversation today. But before we get there, you mentioned that you work nationally. And so it makes me curious, maybe some of the top three, top four issues that you see regardless of geography within your nonprofit clients in the world of HR? So what are the trends? What are the top questions that are out there?
Yes. So one of the number ones is, how do I navigate medical leaves and medical accommodations? So family medical leave kicks in at 50 employees. So a lot of the nonprofits I work with are there, but some of them are not. And so then they're dealing with the Americans with Disabilities Act and providing medical accommodations. So that's a big one. The other one is honestly mediating internal conflict, whether it be between a supervisor and their employee, or whether it be between a member of the board and a member of the leadership staff, really getting clear on what the issues are and then helping both parties to resolve things. The other issue is also dealing with sensitive performance matters that might result in disciplinary action or letting someone go. Unfortunately, that's some of the time when folks give me a call. And then the other thing that's really big right now that I mentioned is, I would say the last issue that really comes up a lot is hiring. It is a tough market out there, and nonprofits have some great competitive advantages. And so I really work with the nonprofit clients to kind of bring those out in their advertising, in their networking, and looking for their promotion from within culture. Some of those things are flexibility. Usually nonprofits are more, in my experience, they're more family friendly. So there's a number of things that I work with them on to help them find people, because it is really a challenging market out there. I call it, it's a job seeker buyer's market for sure. And so employers have to make some shifts in how they interview, how they hire, how they market to candidates to bring quality candidates on board.
And that's a great overview of what's going on in HR. And as I've mentioned in the past on the podcast, I'm a lawyer by background. And so I think there's a similarity between lawyers and folks who specialize in HR, in the sense that sometimes people don't reach out to those folks until there's a problem, until there's an issue, right? So we want to be a little bit more proactive than reactive. Has that been your experience too?
Absolutely. And that's exactly why I have set up my consulting business the way it is because I see a real need in the market for that on-call service, that ability to say, oh no, things are not good. Who do I call? And so, and then the beauty of that is that as I develop those relationships over time, some clients are just a short-term, you know, relationship, but as I develop those relationships over time, we get more into the, well, how do you want your employee benefits plans to look so that you're attracting and retaining employees? And what about an employee feedback survey? And kind of those more proactive items than, you know, kind of the emergency reactive items that'll always be there. But, you know, working on from the strategic realm too and thinking ahead is also really rewarding.
Well, you mentioned that it's a buyer's market, it's a job seeker's market right now. And I think that was one of the things that really attracted me to this conversation and this topic, is that, and for a lot of different reasons, nonprofit organizations do often have to fill staff positions. There is a lot of turnover, there is a lot of opportunity, and a lot of need for organizations to identify staff members and fill critical positions within the organization. I'm interested, talk to me a little bit about some of those built-in advantages that you see for nonprofits.
Yeah, so some of the advantages for building a promotion from within culture, to me are, it's going to take you a lot more investment up front, but then when the need arises, you're going to have the right people inside to fill those positions. And for the organizations that are also investing in this like benefits forward marketing and advertising, the really employee friendly social media posts that like not only honor and recognize an employee that's been there, you know, with a photo and a caption, but also attract people to your employer brand, that type of thing. And so I've seen a couple of benefits. I've seen that it's shortening the time, you know, frame between when they are looking to hire and when they can actually place a person in the role. And then I've also seen that it's attracting, like if we get really clear about the organization's mission with both their internal recruitment strategy, which is the promotion from within, and their external recruitment strategy, they're more apt to really look at those job descriptions, really look at what they need and what they want, what their mission is. You know, it brings a lot of clarity in the hiring process so that they then attract people that are more interested in the type of work that they're advertising.
And I would imagine for, you know, for nonprofit organizations, certainly it was like this when I was CEO, is it's so much easier from a transition, from an orientation, understanding the organization position, if you do have someone on your staff that can move up or move into a different role, and I imagine that's a huge benefit to creating that promotion from within pipeline.
Absolutely. It shortens the time frame, but it is a larger investment up front. The biggest investment is changing the mindset. Traditionally, organizations all over, not just nonprofits, have thought of these opportunities, whether they're a leadership opportunity, whether they're a certain specialized opportunity that might not have, you know, education or licensure requirements. Those are real things. You know, traditionally, there's this kind of a belief that people have to have exact related experience. This person must have this software program experience. This person has to have 5 years of leadership experience, and they're overseeing one staff person in a program.
Right.
And, you know, as the market shifts and we're seeing different generations come into the market, they're more interested in, I think it's Deloitte and Touche that came up with the career lattice, not the career ladder. And so people are moving into different career fields. They're moving to different employers. They're interested in different fields. And what I find, especially with some of my career coaching clients that are of the millennial generation, is it's an important factor to them that their organization allows them to do different things, whether it's going to be that the organization allows promotion, whether it's going to be that they allow them to dabble in a different area that they're interested in. So I have to believe that it's also a way to retain staff.
Right. So you talk in your work about 7 strategies for creating a promotion from within culture. So if I'm an HR manager listening to this, or if I'm an executive director listening to this, where do I start? What is strategy 1? Where would I begin?
Yeah. So I think the most important thing to do is, now that we're in this day and age where we're facing, as a country, talent shortages, we are facing issues of not being able to find candidates, we really have to treat our recruitment and retention practices just like we would our grant writing practices, just like we would our program development and growth practices. It needs to have a plan. So just like we do when we go out to a funder and we're building a program, the program and the plan for the promotion from within has to have goals, has to have a mission. It has to have targets and tracking. And so some of those items are, you know, how many people do we want to promote this year? And what do we think it will do to our employee satisfaction survey scores? And, you know, what do we think that it will do to retention, employee retention? And really talking about it like it's a business plan, like it's a program, like it's, you know, the work, the mission-driven work. And so, you know, I think it's important to treat it with that same importance, because if we don't have the staff that are doing this work, we're not going to be able to serve the clients. And so we have to treat these things as important as they are.
So if I hear you, step 1 then is make a plan. So just like you would have a strategic plan, just like you have an annual fundraising development plan, a board development plan, make yourself an HR plan as well. So if that's step 1, where do I go next? Now I have my plan in hand.
Well, your critical stakeholders are going to be your frontline managers. So oftentimes I see you've got the director level and then you've got the manager level. So some directors are very hands-on leaders. Frontline managers are often very hands-on leaders. So I really say prioritize those frontline leaders and those directors who have, frequent contact with their employees, and really equipping them with the tools to be able to generate interest in promotions, to be able to support the goals of the program. So part of that is communicating that there is a promotion from within program. Setting them up with what I like to call and what I do for the employers I work with is I believe in manager toolkits. So things like promotion from within toolkit that includes a discussion guide of how to talk about career with your employees. It includes a template that's a one-page document that you go through with your employee to say, okay, where do you want to be? And then let's talk about like where your skills at are at now and where do you think they need to be? And then you can fill in the gaps as the leader with, you know, if they're not self-identifying all of the skills and skill gaps they have. And then those leaders, those frontline leaders are going to need training in how to do this and support in how to have those conversations. But that's really the next step in my mind is making sure that your frontline management team has the toolkit to promote this promotion from within program.
Yeah. And I think two things that you mentioned really jump out at me. And the first being that the onus is really on the employer, the nonprofit organization itself, to create a climate and create a culture within the organization that conversation can occur freely. So the employee doesn't fear, you know, why am I, or do I have permission to talk about a job I might not have today, but might want in the future? Is that welcomed in the organization?
I am so glad you brought that up because that is one of the biggest barriers out there right now. Just as people are fearful of making a mistake at work because these cultures are like, we must have perfection, not so much in the nonprofit realm as I see, but you know, there's these cultures of you can't talk about being interested in being something else because what if you, you know, threaten your manager, meaning that they feel threatened by you wanting to promote. And really you're right. And what that takes is a couple, in my opinion, key leaders, whether they be members of the board, has to be the executive director, that is actively modeling this behavior. So they're talking about their own promotion from within story because a lot of the nonprofit executive directors I worked with started out on the phones. They started out meeting with clients one-on-one. So, you know, talking about it themselves, engaging in those conversations, and then showing them that it's safe. You know, it's safe to talk about this type of thing. And so I think you've hit on a critical factor to the success of the program.
And I like that concept too, because it shows that it's a partnership. That this promotion from within culture is a partnership. Each side has a part to play and has a role. It's not all on the employee to go out and develop all of their own skills. There's a piece for the organization. There's a piece for the leadership of the organization, the board, to help that person, to push that person along where they might need to go or want to go.
Absolutely. Yeah, we all have to own our own careers. So the primary ownership in my mind lies with the employee. And I think it can be dangerous sometimes when employees are like, well, my employer does nothing for my career development. And that is a belief and a mindset I try to change with the one-on-one clients I work with because we own our career. We decide where we want to go, whether it's with the organization that we're with or with another organization. But absolutely, the employer has to be supportive of it. They have to be willing to allow the conversations, willing to have the honest conversations about, you know, where they think the skill gaps are. And then also be willing primarily to ask questions of the person. Because I think that as I'm seeing kind of things shift into less of a top-down management culture in organizations and more of a coaching culture, the key is inquiry and advice. And so I always say, you know, 50% inquiry of the person, 50% advice, not feedback, but advice of here's what I did. I don't know if this works for you, but here's what I did, or here's what I see other people do. Because you do have a level of expertise as a manager that you can share with your employee. And then I say 100% collaborative. So it has to be, you know, 100% collaborative between the employee and manager.
So I love the idea of the toolkit. So we've made an annual HR plan. We have created a toolkit for managers. The employees have a piece in that. What's next?
Yeah, so the next thing that I see as so important is investing in not only training for your managers. Training is great. It gives you knowledge, But real skill building comes in with coaching. And so for organizations that are larger nonprofits that have a budget for training, I would recommend to them to carve out a chunk of those dollars for leadership coaching to really build the skill level of your managers. We see in the Gallup poll surveys, we see in the news all the time, people leave their managers. So if we're looking to build a promotion from within culture and we want people to stay, we don't want them to leave the organization because they're fed up with their manager, we need to invest in coaching our managers. Now, smaller nonprofits might not have much of a training budget or a budget for coaching nonetheless. So in those cases, I'm a big fan of setting up structured peer learning groups where you bring together maybe a consultant or somebody who's outside the organization, not necessarily in a position of authority, and you have a group meeting like once a month where confidentiality is guaranteed and people learn from each other. You can rotate having the peers lead the meeting. You can, have the round robin in the meeting where people bring issues that they need support with and then they celebrate successes. So I think that is a really critical, like a low-hanging fruit opportunity for organizations that don't necessarily have the funds to invest in coaching. But the difference between, and I think we're going to see a real shift, not necessarily, I hope it doesn't go away from training because we all need training still. We need to know the law updates. We need to know, how the program goal setting works. We need to know those key pieces of knowledge. But I think we're going to see a real shift toward individualized coaching or group coaching. It is more effective, in my opinion, with building skill. So there's knowledge with training, skill with coaching. You're practicing, you're actually building the skills.
Oh, that's a great point. And you hit on something that I harp on all the time and I'm hugely passionate about, and that's organizational investment in talent development. I think if we want to create the next generation of leaders for our organization, or just build a strong backbone of leadership within the organization, we have to budget for it and we have to spend on it. And sometimes that costs funds. And I know that that's part of a much larger conversation beyond this podcast around overhead and around paying for things like that. But I'm glad to hear you mention that because that's something I feel passionately about as well.
Yes, absolutely.
So what are some other things that organizations should do that will help them create that promotion from within culture?
So one of those business words that needs to enter our nomenclature when it comes to processes and nonprofits too is marketing. We are now in a world, because of the tight labor market out there, is we need to market our organizations. We need to build our employer brand and market the program internally and externally. And so, if somebody has an aversion to the word, marketing, the other thing you could look at it is sharing the work that you do. So say not sales, but sharing. So sharing with the community, sharing with your employees about your program. So marketing internally looks kind of like what we talked about with having the key leadership demonstrate the behavior. But it also looks like having what I call career ladder stories or promotion from within stories, where every organization I've worked with has a really cool, sometimes more than one, promotion from within story. So it's that somebody started working at the shelter and now they're the executive director, or someone started working as a job coach and now they oversee all the employment programs. And so feature these people, show people that it can be done. Or you might have somebody who was in accounting and went into social services. So it doesn't necessarily have to be the upward movement. And so those are photos of those people, their blips or stories about them, obviously with their permission, if they're interested in this. And I'd put that in the employee handbook. I'd put that in the company or organization's intranet. I would really kind of put those visuals along with storytelling, just like the good marketers tell us to do, good picture, good story. And that kind of creates this internal, or it helps generate this internal culture. The other thing that I mentioned before that I think is really cool if it's done well, and one of the organizations that I'm aware of that does a really good job at this is Kootenai Health in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. They create photos of their employees, obviously with their permission. People get excited by this, though, in my experience. I've done it as an HR director. Photos of their employees and, whether it be kudos toward them or whether it be their promotion from within story, and they post those on social media. So a question I get from nonprofit leaders is, should we ask our employees to share things on social media about our jobs? And I say, make it so they want to. And so when they see a picture of their coworker, I can't believe how many shares I've gotten from that, or I watch Kootenai Health, getting a lot of likes online from that type of idea. And so it's also infusing this, we promote from within, we develop our talent, we develop our employees, and including that in the job advertisements. So in the job posting, we pride ourselves on being a promotion from within culture. Here's a snippet to our website of a promotion from within story. So keeping it in your advertisements, keeping it in your internal materials as well as your external materials.
And I think that's exciting, just because for a small nonprofit or a nonprofit that may not have an HR budget or department, that's something that can be done free of charge. I mean, there's no cost to partnering with your staff member to give them a platform on social media or anywhere else to share their personal story of how it has felt to them to be part of this organization during its evolution and during that person's evolution as a leader.
Exactly. Yeah, it generates excitement. And like I said, it's really twofold. It not only advertises and promotes and shares and sells, but it also recognizes that person and it makes them feel good. Look, I'm featured in the organization's story.
And typically, I think that there's also benefit to the organization itself by having those stories on social media, because inevitably, as an individual has progressed within an organization, they're also sharing the story of the evolution of the mission of the organization too. So I may have started at this organization when we were two people in a back room over here, but now I've been with the organization 15 years and I've seen X, Y, and Z. It's just a great way to spotlight kind of those parallel growth tracks for both organization and individual.
I agree completely.
So are there any other things that we haven't touched on yet that are critical to creating this culture?
Yes. So one of the components that I think is important is to continue to generate the interest now with your frontline employees, so with your direct reports, shall we say. And the way that I've seen organizations do this well is career management workshops, lunch and learns on how to get promoted. There are a number of outside businesses, speakers that love to donate their time to nonprofits and that can take their maybe training skill set or workshop leadership skill set into a bring your brown bag lunch and learn about how to manage your career. Learn about how to identify where you want to go, where you're at today, where you want to be, what's holding you back, and figure out a plan for getting there. So I think that that's a really important component. And then, I think a couple of things, I talked a little bit about that mindset shift away from, it isn't only a career ladder anymore. It isn't only that people want to promote to a supervisor job. I know a person whose organization took the person and put them from finance to IT. There are what that career lattice. There's the movement across, which is just as good as the movement up. But the biggest mindset shift, just to drive the point home, is really getting realistic about what it takes to be successful in the job. I see people just kind of, and I see why we do it. I've done it, in terms of building a job description, and it ends up being like 6 pages long, and you're like, this is how important this work is. And so really having an understanding of what a job description is, It isn't a task list. It isn't a, this is an ideal candidate, because back in the day, maybe there were ideal candidates. There were people that had all the things you wanted in order to hire. But nowadays, that isn't the case. And so really taking a hard look inside at your mindset and really taking a hard look at your job descriptions and deciding what it truly takes to be successful in the job. And the other thing that is important too about being realistic about your job is it helps you manage some liability. So when I see organizations stack these job descriptions with must have a master's degree in HR and must have this senior certification in HR, and then they hire someone who doesn't have those requirements because guess what? You don't really need them, say for this particular example. That creates an issue in terms of your sticking to a job description, maybe for another hire, but not for this hire. And then it creates inequity. And I think that that's, really an important thing to take into consideration.
That's a good point. Would you, quick question that just popped into my head before we wrap up. So when you're interviewing an applicant or someone from the organization for a specific position, would you talk to them in the interview process about potential future career paths that that position could lead to?
I would, and I do, with the organizations that are open to it, because I see these candidates' eyes light up, especially candidates who are really energized and really interested. Maybe they're just entering the workforce. They want to promote. And so I talk about those stories of the other people who've promoted. I show them, educational resources that are available to them. Absolutely. I think it's important to talk about it often and talk about it early.
Well, Sky, I have learned an awful lot from this podcast. I really appreciate your time. But I want to give folks an opportunity if they have further questions or if they want to learn more about this or learn more about what you do as an HR consultant and how to implement this within the intricacies and individuality of their own organization. How can folks get a hold of you?
Yeah, absolutely. So a couple ways. I'm on LinkedIn as Sky Mercer, SkyMercer. And then I also direct people to my website. So it's skyhrconsulting.com. So it's skyehrconsulting.com. But I also bought the domain for SKY in case people forget the E. So yeah. And then my email is just skymercer@gmail. I'd love for folks to reach out to me. I can help and support what they're trying to do. And I'm passionate about HR. I'm passionate about nonprofits. So it's really what I enjoy doing.
Well, Sky, I appreciate you taking your time, sharing your wisdom, your knowledge. I learned a lot. I know everyone listening to the podcast will learn a lot also. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you for having me.
And this has been Greg Nielsen in Nonprofit Vision. And just a last minute plug before we wrap up the podcast. If you are enjoying the podcast and there are other topics or other guests that you would like to see us feature, please reach out to me anytime. Sky mentioned that she's on LinkedIn. I'm on LinkedIn as well, also on Facebook and Twitter at Gregory_Nielsen. You can also email me at Gregory@NielsenConsults.com. That's NIELSEN, consults.com. Website is www.NielsenConsults.com. Thank you very much, and we'll see you again soon.